On a day when America remembers the destruction of the World Trade Center, the twisted metal and ghostly silhouettes still haunt us, we'll take a few moments to consider the creation of a new building and the people who built it. Architect Frank Gehry's Walt Disney Concert Hall in Los Angeles looks almost like a clipper ship with swooping curves that seem to defy the physics of architecture. Ernesto Panuelos was one of the nearly 100 iron workers who put together the Walt Disney Concert Hall. He was interviewed for a documentary called Symphony in Steel about the building of the hall.
When I first saw the plans for the Disney Concert Hall, I kept grabbing them and turning them over to try and make sense of it. It looked impossible. I think it pushed all of us to a new level, and we came closer together and working together as a team. We were able to accomplish things we hadn't thought of, you know, that nobody else thought we could do.
Iron worker Ernesto Panuelos. The iron workers who molded this building into being are documented in a book of photographs by Gil Garcetti. Mr. Garcetti, of course, served as the Los Angeles District Attorney for many years. We met him at the Smithsonian Institution's Building Museum, where his photographs are on display, to talk about the building of the concert hall and how he came to the project.
I was leaving a meeting, and I literally made a right-hand turn on this street that put me between what we call the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, where the Academy Awards was, and this new Walt Disney Concert Hall that was being built. And I happened to look up, and I saw this one iron worker on all fours, literally crawling over a high arch beam, and I said, whoa, wait a minute, I have to photograph this. So I pulled over. I had a small camera with me. That wasn't good enough. Next day I came back and I took more photographs, went to the dark room, printed them and said, yes, got to do more here. That's what started the whole thing.
Now you kept a camera in your briefcase for, well now of course.
Forever.
Yeah, but 30 years or something.
When I was a district attorney, I always had one in my pocket.
Does that take personalized mugshots?
You never know who you're going to run into, Scott. No, I would be at various events, and I considered myself an urban photographer, even then, and I'd pull it out. I wouldn't bring it up to my eye or my face. I'd keep it at waist level, and I'd usually take three shots of something I liked, moving it ever so slightly, and usually I would have one that I wanted to keep.
Now, we're looking at a picture of a man standing on a platform. I don't know how many feet this would be off the ground.
He was up about 90 feet.
And he's using both hands to hold. Well, let me get you to describe it, if I could.
Well, what he is doing, he is called a connector. Mm-hmm. A connector is one of a team. They always have two connectors. They are the ones that bring in the first piece of iron. The crane brings it in, and it's their responsibility now to make the first connection. This is usually the riskiest part because you're up there. There's very little support, if any, around you. He is on a platform with very little under him.
And his hands are holding that, not holding on.
That's right. And they will do that. This was the man that we're looking at right now that I photographed that very first day. I saw him. He was lifted up on a hoist as high as he could go. So he was about 110 feet up. He climbs off the hoist and he pulls out this long pick-like device. It looks like an ice pick. And he's trying to insert it in something. I didn't know what he was doing. Now I know. He was trying to align two holes that didn't quite make it. All right, so he puts the pick in as far as he could go with his hand. He then pulls out a 12-pound sledgehammer, and he's holding on with his left hand. His right foot is on like a 3-inch flange. His left foot is on the top of this boom extension ladder. And now he rears back behind his back and then brings it with force, hits the pin. The whole place reverberates, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm dead. I'm gone. Because once I start moving back, I'll just keep going. I don't have the physical strength, nor can I keep the balance to do it. But what he is simply doing is bringing the two pieces of iron aligned so he can put the bolt through it. And you talk to him and say, oh, that's really neat. You're up there. It's your responsibility. It's my job to connect. And if it doesn't fit perfectly, it's my job to make it fit. And I do it. said, yeah, but you're up there holding on. I know. That's what makes it thrilling for me. I'm not dumb. I have a wife and I have a daughter, and I want to go home to them. But this is exciting and fulfilling for me.
It's not easy to build anything. It's not easy to build any skyscraper. But what iron workers confronted in hanging iron, that's the phrase?
That is, hanging iron.
Is unusual because of the unprecedented shape of the building. I mean, computers were necessary to, I guess, speed up the process of
considerably. They'd still be in the planning stages, Frank, really. Without the computer, it couldn't be done, but without the iron workers, it would never have been done.
It's much trickier and even more hazardous to work in a building
like this.
It's
incredibly tricky. I mean, as you talk to the iron workers, these people are fiercely independent. Mm-hmm. They are strong. They are smart. They work incredibly hard. Every one of them, if they are fortunate enough to retire as an iron worker, will walk away with injuries probably more severe than a professional football player will. Mm-hmm. These are the people who led the walk-off on 9/11. They were there when they heard of the tragedy in New York. Yeah. And everyone said, all right, now back to work. It was the iron workers who said, oh no, we're all walking off now because many of our brothers will immediately go to New York to help. When they walk off, everyone walks off. That's the spirit that they have.
Have you, remember reading somewhere, I guess in your own account, that you began by taking pictures of your daughter?
Yes.
And just gradually got more serious, involved?
I'd always taken photographs, but with the birth of my daughter now 35 years ago, Dana, I decided if I want to take really good black and white photographs, I better really go to school. And so I went to 4.5 years of adult night school.
Now this is the time when you were in the prosecutor's office?
Yes, I was in the prosecutor's office my whole life, I think. Mm-hmm. That feels that
so
way.
So you had...
I had a full-time job.
Yes, an important day job.
Yes,
at least.
Yeah. But this is what I was doing. I would do this at night, and then I'd experiment on Dana and my wife, Suki, and later my son, Eric, and then just kept going on.
We're reaching the point now where there are some photographs that are, I don't know, 180 years old.
Yes.
These people, these men and one woman, produce something that will, God willing, persist for centuries. And there are very few things of which that can be said.
And they sense this. They know that. They have a pride that we're part of the American landscape forever because a building does not go up unless an iron worker has been involved. We know that after we're dead and gone, people are still going to marvel at this building. And we hope that they remember that we contributed a little bit as well as Frank Gehry did.
Gil Garcetti talking with us at the Smithsonian's Building Museum. His photographs of the Disney Concert Hall are on display there and available in a book called Iron, Erecting the Walt Disney Concert Hall. You can see some of Mr. Garcetti's pictures by coming to our website too, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.